A very good morning, Namibia. A very good morning to you, wherever you're finding yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So thank you for joining us. Thank you. It's good to have you with us. And thank you for joining us at this Wednesday morning. It's also a raining morning in some part of the country, and it has been raining as well on this part of the world. So welcome, and it's a great pleasure having you. As always, it's a pleasure for us to be in your company, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. So yes, it's a Wednesday, the 4th of March. The year is 2026. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and political issues. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and headlines and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear here and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment does not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack those, to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation with you so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack with me the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, welcome, welcome. You're definitely at the front door to get in the class. So welcome. And as usual, we look at our history. Let me welcome you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all our listeners tuning in across the continent and around the world. So you're listening to On This Day in Africa, where we take a look back at the moment that shaped our great continent. So today we have some powerful stories from history to share with you. Settle in, and let's take a walk through the time together. So let's start with a truly historic moment on this day in 1980, the people of Zimbabwe went to the polls in their first ever election under majority rule. And the result, a landslide victory for Robert Mugabe and his party, ZANU-PF party. So Mugabe became Zimbabwe's first black prime minister, making the end of the white minority rule and the birth of a new nation. So it was a moment of hope, a moment of freedom, a moment that the world watched closely. So after years of struggle, Zimbabwe had finally taken its place among independent African nations. Now let's talk about something that made headlines around the world on this day. In 2009, the International Criminal Court, the ICC, made history by issuing an arrest warrant for Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir. So what was his charges? War crimes and crime against humanity in Darfur. So this was a big deal, my dear listeners, because al-Bashir became the very, very, very first sitting head of state to be inducted by the ICC. So it's kind of like send shockwaves through diplomatic circles and spark debate that continue to this day about justice and about countries' sovereignty and accountability. So, but let's go further back in time, back into time. So all the way to 1957. So that year, something special was happening in West Africa. The British colony known as the Gold Coast was preparing to become an independent nation. And just days before the official independence ceremony on March the 6th, the country changed its name to Ghana, taking inspiration from the ancient Ghana Empire. So a new name for a new beginning. And you know that, you know what makes this, and you know what makes this, this story even more powerful? None other than Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife, Coretta Scott King, were also there to witness it, to witness this new beginning, the independence of Ghana. So the civil rights leader and his wife traveled to the Gold Coast, soon to be Ghana at that time, to be part of that historic moment of liberation from the British colonial rule. And King himself said it was one of the most emotional experience of his life. Just imagine two freedom movement, you know, on opposite side of the Atlantic, you know, connected by a shared dream of dignity and self-determination. So, and finally, my dear friends, we celebrate a birthday. So on this day in 1932, a legend was born in South Africa. Not Malema. Yesterday we celebrated Malema's birthday. Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? So now today, the one and only Miriam Makeba, known to the world as Mama Africa. So Makeba would grow up to become one of the most influential musicians that this continent have ever produced. So, but she was more than just a singer. She was a voice of the voiceless, using her music to speak about or to speak against, to speak out against apartheid and to fight for human rights around the world. So her songs, her spirit, and her courage continue to inspire us today. And well, my dear listener, that is our look back at history on this day in Africa. These are the stories that made us who we are as a continent. Well, thanks for listening. All right. So our time, it's about 10 minutes past 8. So, yeah, let's look at the thought for the day. So what is our thought for the day on Unpacking the Day? Well, small things matter. Small things matter. Maybe it is the one phone call you make. Could be just that one phone call you make, the one apology you offer, or a single paragraph you finally write. Now, those tiny actions don't look like much on their own, but they change the shape of tomorrow. Now, think of today as a collection of small moves, you know, small moves. One kind word, one clear decision, one tiny task finished. Over time, those moves add up into a momentum. Now, so don't wait for the perfect moment, because perfection is a story we tell ourselves. So we can stay stuck. Now instead, pick one small thing you can do right now that actually knuckles you forward. Now it could be as simple as replying to that message, walking for 10 minutes, or saying thank you out loud. Could be that simple. So those micro choices make your day kinder, make your day your work clearer and your relationship steadier. So start with one tiny step today. With one tiny step today, and watch how tomorrow looks different. So that's our thought for today, for the day on unpacking the day. So good morning if you're just joining us, and welcome. So what is on our table this morning? What is on our table this morning? What are we going to discuss this morning? So you remember that this week, Monday, Wednesday, we pick out certain aspect in the budget, and really go into that. So yeah, and now with the debt servicing consuming nearly as much money as developing spending, Namibia fiscal, a future is being, as some expect said, mortgaged. So, and as a result, is stifling growth and diverting funds from health and infrastructure. So that's the story we'll be following. So that's the story we'll be unpacking. So make sure we unpack that together. So, and on Dangwa Town Council, we will come back to here. So Ondangwa Town Council is advancing the sports stadium project, to transform it now into a state of the art, and also into a revenue generating kind of center or hump for the northern regions. That's a story that making the front page for the villages. So, and with a projected budget of 60 to 70 million for this year, so this is what the Ondangwa Town Council is, you know, planning. So we will be talking about that as well as and other stories that we have for you. And you know, your participation will definitely be part of the show, so you are welcome to engage and participate on this topic. So as you can see, there's so much on the table, and you just saw the menu. So we'll be back after this commercial break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Yes, good morning, and welcome. So, good morning. Where are you finding yourself? Where are you listening us from? Which town are you listening us from? So you're most welcome. You could be inside of this beautiful land, this beautiful country, or you could be listening us from outside of the land of the brave. So you are all welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. And here, as always, we don't just tell you what happened. Here, we don't just tell you what happened. We tell you what it means. What it means. So pull up your chair. You know, get that coffee if you want to. And this one is very important. This one is very important as usual. Now imagine, okay, let me paint a picture for you. All right. Now imagine you take your salary home every month. Okay. So I just want to zoom you in in terms of what we're talking about. Imagine you take your salary home every month. You pay rent, you pay, the school fees, if you pay school fees, you pay school fees, you buy groceries, you know? But there is one bill, one old debt, okay? That one old debt, that just keep eating. It just keep eating. So every month, before you can fix the leak, maybe your roof is leaking, before you even fix that leaking roof, or before you can buy your child a school uniform or something, before you can save anything, that debt collector, that debt collector is already at the door. Eh? And every year, that bills get bigger. Now scale that now. Scale up to now. Now scale up that story I'm telling you now. Scale that up to an entire country. That is exactly what is happening to Namibia right now. So our country is, we say, it's in trouble. It's in trouble, depending who you're talking to. We are drowning in debt. So we are drowning in debt, and it's costing us. It's really costing us big time. So now, between 2021 and 2027, Namibia is set to spend a jaw-dropping, they said jaw-dropping, yeah, jaw-dropping, 68.7 billion Namibian dollars. 68.7 billion Namibian dollars just on interest payment. 68.7 billion Namibian dollars. That's just on interest payment. That's not paying off the debt itself. That's not the money you're paying the debt itself, paying off the debt itself. That's simply the cost of borrowing. You're just paying for the cost. That's just the cost of borrowing. And there's a really, really, really good breakdown in the Namibian Sun. So when it comes now to this, from the 2021 to 2026. So, look that out. So now, back in 2015, our debt set at about 26%. Just back in 2015, our debt set at about 26% of what our entire country produces in a year. Well, the economists call it GDP, all right? So that was manageable, 26%. That was manageable. This is just in 2015. Now, but fast forward to 2021. So fast forward to 2021, and that number hit 69.6. From 2015 to 2021, it hit 69.6. And that is the all-time higher in Namibia. The all-time higher it was in 2021. Now, in 2021, all-time higher, and that number actually hit about 69.6% of what our entire economy produces in that year, in 2021. Now, here is why it matter. why that matter, okay? So the economists have this thing they call the danger zone. Eh? Economists always have this. They have this thing they call the danger zone. Now, that's when your debt hit 60% of GDP or higher. And we have been, and for us, Namibia, we have been sitting above it every single year since 2020. So the economists call that a danger zone, and we have been sitting above that every single year since 2020. So we borrowed our way through, you remember, the recessions, through the COVID, and through the years where we just keep spending more than we are earning. So now, the question would be, how did we get here? Because this didn't happen overnight. It's not something just that happened overnight. You know, this is a story that has been building up for over a decade. You know, it's something that has been building up. Well, you can understand, after independence, borrowing made sense. After independence, borrowing Makes sense for any country. We needed to build country. We needed to build the country from scratch. We needed to, well, we had some road, but we needed to build road. We needed to build hospitals. Even if I'm saying that, how many hospitals that have we built after independence? We needed to build schools. We needed to build public institutions. You know, debt used wisely, if it's used wisely, and most of you know this, it's a tool for growth. So it's a tool for growth. And you cannot also build business without debt. So, yeah, used wisely is actually a tool for growth. No economic in the world, no economic build itself without some level of borrowing. So any economy that has grown, there are some level of borrowing. Now, so how did we get here? So there are about 8 key moments that got us here. Okay. So just to give you a little bit, how do we get out here? How do we get here? And as you said, since 2020, you know, we have been really sitting above the danger zone, as the economic would call it, since then. Now, so I want to look at key moments, some key 8 moments that actually got us here. Now, think of them as so kind of like a milepost of this journey. Okay, there's this milepost, there's this post, there's that post, you know. And it started, this started in 2015. You know what happened in 2015? Now, when the government actually issued what is called the Eurobond. Remember the Eurobond that we just paid off last year? So it started then. It started in 2015 when the government issued the Eurobond. Basically, we went to international markets and borrowed money. And that was the spark that lit the borrowing spiral. When you look at now, the borrowing, you know, the spiral of our borrowing is started around 2015. Now, so then came the another milepost is the recession. So then came the recession of 2016 and 2017, when the economy actually shrink. Now, so the government collects less tax because of the recession. The government actually collect less tax, but it still has to pay for everything. Even if you collect less tax, you still actually have to pay everything. So borrowing goes up. You see, then the borrowing started going up during that time as well. And then you remember the COVID. So then COVID hit in 2020. We all remember that. So emergency spendings, we had so many emergency spending, lockdowns, healthcare costs. So all paid for with borrowed money. All that what we spent during that time are paid with borrowed money. So then by 2021, now where we hit that debt peak, you know, I mentioned earlier on of 69.6. So that's, you can see how that's the highest peak that we reached, you know, by 2021. So, but here's something worth noting also as well. So in October, as I said last year, we paid off a $750 million Eurobond. So we paid that off. And that's significant. I think that was significant. It shows we're trying to get our house in order. So, but the 2026 budget, okay, let's get back now to where we want. I just wanted you to tell you how did we get here. All right. So, but the 2026 budget tell us we are actually still paying the price. We're still actually paying the price of that $750 million Eurobond. So, because 14.3 billion Namibian dollar just in interest payment compared to only 6.5 billion for development. So, as you can see, in our budget, we have a 14.3 billion Namibian dollar that a budget line for interest payment. And if you compare that now to the only 6.5 billion for development. So, I mean, if we break down the 104 billion Namibian dollar budget for 2026-2027, so nearly, I mean, much of our money goes to operation, nearly 80%, that is 78.2% goes to the operations. So 80%, all right? And then salaries, that's about salaries, keeping the light on in the government's buildings, day-to-day expenses. So 78.2, nearly 80%. And then about 13.7%, that's about now 14.3 billion. 14.3 billion goes to the debt interest. Excuse me. So it goes to the debt interest. And here's the number that should grab you. So just 6.25%, which is actually 6.5 billion, goes to development. So our interest, our debt interest actually got, 14.3 billion, and our development got 6.5 billion. And imagine much of the money actually goes, and the rest of the money goes to operation. There's so much little to do to create a growth and all the priorities that we talking about. Now, when you look at that, so you quickly just, some of us maybe look at a little bit in details. Now, when you're talking about priorities, okay, we have NDP6, for example, NDP6, and we're talking about priorities. Now, you look at how much that actually would cost, the priority that we have, that things that we want to achieve, and you look at the amount of the money that we have to do that. So definitely that's going to tell you already, you're not going to go anywhere. So we're not going to... The amount that goes to the... what is that? The amount that this goes to the operational budget. We there's nothing that we can do. There's honestly nothing we can do. What we can do is what actually the minister does, looking at how do we make use effective, how do we use what we have more effective, So we'll come back after these commercials.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Inbox? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Inbox has to offer at an unbeatable price. Inbox. Where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Now, so if you look at now between the 2021 and the 2027, that just six financial years, okay? This six financial year, Namibia will spend approximately 68.7 billion. 68.7 billion just on interest payment. On an interest payment on our national budget. Now, this is not repaying the actual debt. This is just interest payment. It's not about now the actual debt, repaying our actual debt. Just the interest. So 68.7 between 2021 to 2027. So just the cost of having borrowed the money. Now, if you compare 68.7 billion in the same period, we spent 62.5 billion on health. 62.5 billion on health. So we are spending more money paying interest on debt than actually we are spending keeping our people alive and healthy. So if you compare that, you can see that we are spending more money on paying interest on debt rather than, you know, spending keeping our people alive and healthy. And here's the main issue. Here is now the main issue. Over just four of those years, from 2021, you know, to 2025, our development budget, the money we used to build roads, to build bridges, build schools, build water infrastructure, you know, so it totals roughly 30 billion just from 2021 to 2025. Now, but interest payment over those same 4 years came to 40 billion. So that means for every dollar Namibia invested in building something, we pay nearly $1.50 to serve old debt. You remember the story of talking when I started about the house? So we actually pay nearly $1.50, you know, to service our debt. So we are literally paying more to stand still, you know, we are paying more to remain still here than we are paying to move forward, because, you know, you're spending more to remain standing rather than actually to move forward. So now let's talk about the cost. What is this costing us? You know, the things we are not building because of this debt burden. Because of this burden, what are the things that we are not building? First, housing. It's just simple things. Housing. We have a backlog of 300,000 homes. And that it will cost 76 billion Namibian dollars to fix that. That backlog, it costs 76 billion Namibian dollar to fix that. And that's a lot of families waiting for a decent shelter. A lot of family waiting for a decent shelter. Now, 76 billion Namibian dollar. So, now when you're thinking of, you know, when you're thinking of, now, just now, this doesn't require, you know, expert or economist to think. Just a simple, you know, analogy you can see. A simple number tells you, you know, how will we turn this around if we have something that's actually nagging us, that holding us back? We're paying more money there than actually into the budget line that would actually help us to do this, to attend to these priorities. Yeah. Things we are not building because of that, those debt burden. What about energy, electricity? Yeah. Only about half of Namibian have electricity. In the rural areas, 80% of households are in the dark. These are statistics. These are NSA statistics. Think about what that mean, you know, for kids trying to study, yeah? For clinics trying to store vaccine, but there is no, you know, they don't have electricity. For business trying to grow, you know, what is really the real cost? So sometimes when you see the numbers, those numbers have a real cost, yeah? a really human cost. So roads, just in Windhoek alone, there is a 2.67 billion Namibian dollar backlog in road maintenance. Nationwide, we need 8.5 billion. Water. Chronic gap in rural, we have this gap in rural access that remain unsolved. So these are not just some kind of abstract numbers. These are daily realities for millions of Namibians. So when the government spends 14.3 billion on debt interest in 1 year, as projected for now 2026-2027, it's projected that 14.3 billion on debt interest. So, but only 13.1 billion on health in that same year. What does that actually mean? What does it mean? What does it mean for you? The government is spending 14.3 billion on debt interest. On debt interest, and you're spending 13.1 billion on health. What does it actually mean? It means that when you go to Katutura Hospital, when you go to Katutura State Hospital and wait 6 hours or 7 hours to be seen, that is partly a debt problem. That is partly a debt problem. It means when the clinic in your constituency ran out of medication halfway through the month, that's partly a debt problem. It means that when the road to your village is still a dirty track that turns into a river every rain season, that's partly a debt problem. So, because the money that should be fixing those things is being consumed by interest payment on loan that we made. And in many cases, not invested wisely. It's not invested wisely, enough really to generate returns. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this position. $6.5 billion to develop an entire nation, while debt interest alone is $15 billion. $6.5 billion to develop an entire nation, and you have $14 billion, debt interest. So in 2026-2027, Namibia spent more on debt interest, 14.3 billion Namibia dollar, than on the health. You can also see that on the health of its three of our people now, about 3.2 million citizens, we're only going to spend about 13.1 billion. And we're spending 14.3 billion on interest. So that's a clear statement. Your government pays more to international lenders that is spent on clinic than actually it's spent on clinics, on hospitals, on medicines, on healthcare workers, for every person in this country. And that's not a criticism. That's not a criticism. It's a fact. It's there. It's on the budget. It's a fact. And facts are where change begins, actually. So facts is where the change begins. Now, to be fair, our finance minister, Eric Shafuda, is not actually blind. She's not blind to this problem. She's not blind to this problem. She has been frank about it. So she's not actually kind of hiding this problem. No, she really has been frank about it. She has acknowledged publicly that the government is spending more on debt servicing than it's putting back into the economy through the developing budget. She has been frank about that. And she has called for urgent measures to slow down the pace at which debt is accumulating. So she's saying we cannot keep borrowing at this rate. And that is true. And she's right. We cannot continue. We cannot keep borrowing at this rate. We are above the danger zone. So some economists, which sometimes you don't understand, we're still
You know, we're above the danger zone. And if you can, the trajectory is actually, as you can see, we continue borrowing. So as I said, she is right by saying it. So she's actually right by saying it, but fixing it are two very different things. Fixing it then, it's a totally different jump. It's different. We can see it. We know it. We see it. But how do we fix it? Because you think about that. Even now when the minister knows it and talked about it, because even with all that good intentions, this year the government still need to borrow approximately 15 billion just to meet its obligation. This year. So that also tells you that there's a problem. There is a problem. Just thinking about that. There's a problem, you know, why we know that this is unsustainable, but we still actually continue doing it. It's either because we have no control of that. We are really in a situation where we have no control over that. So knowing that is unsustainable, but we still actually continue borrowing 15 billion. We still need this. We're borrowing 15 billion this year. So we are borrowing money partly to pay for the interest on the money we already borrowed. So we're borrowing partly of that money we are borrowing actually is to pay for the interest on the money we already borrowed. Yeah? So, and then, my friends, is what the economists called a debt trap. You know, that's a debt trap. So that's a debt trap. A former minister, I think if we look at what a former minister, Ipumbu said, also made it clear. I said we can look at him today and said maybe if it was like this was a church, we could say he's a prophet. So because the former minister also made it very, very, very clear, crystal clear. So if debt is left unchecked, that's what he said, interest payment will start taking priority over health and social services. He said that in 2023. So if debt is left unchecked, interest payment will start taking priority over health and social services. That warning was made in 2023. Look at the number today. That warning has already started coming true. As I said, he would be a prophet if it was the church. He's the prophet. He said something that this would happen, and this is exactly what is happening. So he probably is a prophet. Huh? So it's something that we have been warned. But the question is, and I said, the finance is something we know it's problematic. But we keep doing it. Why? Just think about that. Why we keep doing it? Why are we getting ourselves into trouble? Knowing that we're getting ourselves in trouble. So now, here's why. I want you to understand why this is so dangerous in the Namibian context specifically. Former finance, we can still go to two. I can go to all the finance ministers. And the former finance, this is now Kale Slatvein. Put it simply and powerful also. So imagine when he was here, a minister of finance. You cannot grow an economy without basic infrastructure. No power, no water, no internet, no growth. So you cannot grow an economy without basic infrastructure. Now, Namibia's youth unemployment is very brutal. right? Estimates put it between 30 and 40%, depending on how you measure it, okay? And to from whom. So we have a young, growing population that needs jobs. Jobs come from where? Come from investment. Investment requires infrastructure. So now you cannot grow an economy without basic infrastructure. So infrastructure requires what? A development budget. A development budget requires a physical space. And a physical space is being now strangled by debt interest. You see? It is a, you remember when we talk, when I talk about the debt trap? It's a vicious circle. It's a vicious circle. And the longer it continues, the harder it becomes to break. And that's why I'm asking why we know that that's unsustainable, but we're still actually borrowing. The longer it continues, the harder it becomes to break. And I think we are finding ourselves in that circle. We're finding ourselves in that circle. And there's also a question. We shouldn't avoid that. There's also a question of what the borrowed money was used for. What is the borrowed money is being used for? So, and this is an honest conversation we need to have. And I'm thinking also that the lawmakers are not doing their job, because they should be the watchdog of the government. Eh? Should be asking those questions. What, show us, you know, open the books. What was this borrowed money was used for? Open the books. There's nothing to hide. Be transparent and accountable. And well, not all borrowing is equal. Not all borrowing is equal. If you borrow to build a dam that maybe powers industry and generate revenue, well, that it's a productive debt. So, and that's what we want to see. Okay. Open books and see how this borrowed money, what was used for. Well, it was used for a dam that powers industry and generate revenue. Well, yes. So if you borrow to pay salaries, are we borrowing those 15 billion that we're going to borrow? Is it to pay salaries and keep the lights on? That's a consumption debt. I don't know whether that's a financial word like that. It's a consumption debt. Okay, we use our simple language. Yeah, it's a consumption debt. And Namibia has been doing too much of that lately. We have been doing too much of that lately. And the other thing that we cannot ignore, what do we say? We cannot ignore the elephant in the room. What is the elephant? You remember how much our 2026-2027 budget, the size of our public sector wage bill. That's an elephant in the room that we cannot ignore. The operation budget of 81 billion out of a total of 104 billion speaks for itself. It speaks for itself. 81 billion out of that. So government is spending the lion's share of the budget just to sustain itself. Just to sustain itself. And that leaves precious little for the actual work of nation building. Just a little bit. Now, that's a little bit. So now, in your right mind, when you're thinking now, when you have all this, you know, information and data, the numbers are very clear. And you're talking about, priorities. How do we meet them? How do we meet with that? How do we meet those priorities with this budget? I have some questions that I want you to, I want us to debate. I want us to debate on that. Now, think about this and think it deeply. You know, when you go through some of things, you ask yourself, okay, is it morally acceptable, for example, for a government to spend more money on banker, you know, banker interest payment than on health of its own people? Just asking question. You know, is it morally acceptable? If you said, no, that's not morally acceptable, then what do we need to do? We're spending more money on a banker interest payment than on health of our own people. So where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line? Let's debate about that. Now, this is also something. If we know, if we know borrowing is unsustainable, if we know borrowing is unsustainable, why are we still borrowing $15 billion this year? Remember, we're probably in that vicious cycle now. Why are we still borrowing $15 billion this year? What exactly is that money being used for? And who is holding government accountable for the returns? These are the things we need to discuss. Is it about time? Maybe it's because there are other countries that restructured their debt. Maybe it's about time. Should Namibia consider a national conversation on restructuring its debt? You know, other countries have done it. Is it time for us to explore that path before we run out of option? So we might actually, the way we go, we might come to a position where we run out of options. Should we? Is it about time now that we consider a national conversation on restructuring our debt? So, yeah, what is your take? What is your take, Namibia? What is your take? Our telephone number is 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction and your overall take about this subject. 08333 66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randisoma yoe, yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeleha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, onara heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, so high.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
All right, welcome, and very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Yeah, so are you afraid of my question? Are you guys afraid of the question that I'm asking you, you know, for us to discuss? I have from Dr. Omo. So, my good morning. Do you mean we pay for the deaths of our forefathers? Yes, doctor, we pay for the death of our forefathers, definitely. To fix that, we need a radical approach. We have to list our debt and see where the money we borrowed went to. Exactly. That's why I said open the books and tell us and see. Let us be transparent. Let us be accountable. Where does the money go to? Then try to cut those nice to have programs that could have some adverse impact on economic growth and employment. People could lose their jobs as the government do the restructuring. So, but as you pointed out, Mike, we need that short-term plan. So we need that short-term pain. The money so saved can go to the development budget and broaden the economic base and create a sustainable employment rather than living off debt. But this need a serious political risk taking. Thank you, doctor, for that.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike.
Yes.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, Mike.
Hmm.
Hi. So we are in the ICU.
We are in the ICU. Definitely. Yeah. We live on borrowing, like just as the doctor actually said here. So we live on borrowing.
We are in a scary stagnation. Seriously, with you. You look at that borrowing and the money which you are. No. That's not how you learn a country.
You know, one thing one thing it's also the, what is that? The parliament, there are certain things that we really don't go deep into it. Maybe we still actually have to debate this. We have to see how we really debate this. But there's a serious something that we need to talk. We need to talk seriously about debt, you know. And here, we're only talking about debt interest. We're not even talking about paying debt, repaying the debt itself. We're talking just about interest payment.
And yeah, they don't talk about really what is happening.
Yeah.
And they don't want to look at our spending. It's very worrisome because some of the money, it's a money which always end up in the pocket of the one person. Corruption, fruit tenders, and all those things which are going, our country going through. And they're still having what? Instead of developing our country, now we are paying the interest.
Hmm.
But somebody else is benefiting because he's the son of a politician or his uncle is a chairman. No, I think it's hard time to deal with this corruption.
Yeah, because no, it's about time to deal with it.
If we are spending our money wisely, because at times I think we have to have come to the term of where to make a peace with our poverty.
Mm, yeah.
And then we send guys, for the first, for the next 5 years, let us try not to get money anywhere. Try to waver. Because we have money high there here, my friend. We are talking about this as a good NCAPF.
Mm.
That money can turn this country around. When you start investing in young people, start investing in housing and what sort. My friend, it can be turned around strategy.
Yeah.
But the problem is we have individually, we are trying to land the country down.
Yeah. There are so many, like what the doctor actually sent me the text here from on WhatsApp. He's saying there are so many nice to have programs. You understand? We need to cut out those nice to have. And one thing I appreciate, something that I always said, it's like independence coming. Okay. You know what they have done today? I mean, this time that the independence is being celebrated in all the regions. You know, celebrate, let the governors and the region celebrate their own independence where they are.
Yeah.
So,
with their own amount of food, because remember, they get allowance. Those allowance, what they are doing with it as a governor?
Yeah.
They can use that money.
Exactly.
For independence, so, whatever. It's happening here.
Yeah. So probably regionally, you won't even, well, regionally, you won't even spend probably a million or two or three, you know? You spend probably just, you know, that amount. Now, imagine if it was somewhere in Katima, like when was last time that it was there, or somewhere in the south, or wherever. It doesn't matter wherever it is. And every official, every government officials now, they have to drive there.
We are spending petrol, we are spending money in the airplane ticket, we are...
Yeah. And in the end of the day, we would spend around 30 million or so on independence.
Yeah. I'm telling you, and on top of that, you have to pay them what? What is this one they're always claiming?
The SMT.
SME, yeah, whatever, yeah.
SMT.
Yeah. You see? No, the problem I think is that we are spending too much electric.
Yeah.
It's like, but we know that this money is supposed to be, when you go for borrowing, we're supposed to have a good intent. So, if you can generate other. So we can pay. That means now we are taking a loan, then that loan doesn't even lead Namibia now. We have to pay to another loan with your interest. Then again, it's just like that. We are not safe at all. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes our leaders, they have to come to the table to make a peace with our poverty, where we can say, spend on what we can afford. Now, remember, we are getting borrowed money, but now we are even driving the luxury car than the people who are borrowing us that money.
Yeah?
Yeah. You can tell me you are poor, but you are still having what? You are coming with a flight, a private one.
Yeah.
But you still come to begging.
So there was someone who wrote an article. You know when the African leaders are at the UN, like UN Assembly, you know, the African leaders where they at the hotel that they stay, you know, are very expensive hotels, and the vehicles,
they are driving
into the to the you know, to the venue. It's most expensive, while the European actually stay in the B&Bs and things like that.
And this is the people
we run to for borrowing, you know. But why
we cannot just be humble the way we have ourselves to be in one bus during the funeral of the Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah.
But why we cannot do that? So as African country, then we come up like, no, for me, let us book together bed and breakfast. Maybe from Angola, South Africa, and what, and Namibia. We are catering the dirty guest house.
Yeah.
We are there to save us. But now we are booking a nice hotel. We are going to shop in those expensive malls, my friend.
Yeah.
Buying even one water which is costing 800,000. Yeah. With your country is going down drain.
Yeah.
With remember, you are the one on top of to make a decision.
So when we look at much of the budgets that we see, we're stabilizing the ship that's actually going that's not going to the destination. You understand? You're stabilizing the ship that is actually not moving it to the destination.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So and that's the problems, you know.
And even that in the ship with UAE, they're having a lot of potholes. Now that football, the moment you feel this one, the other one is all coming up. You see?
Yeah.
It's really, I think, now as an African, especially Namibian, we have to spend in our means. We don't just. You remember even that some town like. Well, now, remember, I think we need even to come up with what you call it, the Chinese model.
Yeah.
If you are engineer, this is your category of your salary. If you are artisan, this is your salary. If you are laborer, this is your salary. If you are CEO, this is your salary. We can't have a CEO getting more than even the president. No. If the president is not willing, there are a lot of, they can vote in foreign countries.
Yeah, what is your standard of measurement? How do you compare yourself? Who do you compare yourself with? You know, to give, let's say for example, the salaries that you're talking now, to give a CEO or whatever the amount of money you give, who do you compare with? Who do you compare yourself with to say we need to be at this level compared to who? You know, and the disparity, the inequality between, you know, the secretary in that company and the CEO, the gap that is there, it's huge. Eh? So, and that's the inequalities that we're talking about. Yeah.
Mike, even to make it the meta worse, I think even the CEO of NamPower is even getting more than Eskom.
Yeah. Both.
But just imagine, Eskom is the one who is supplying us the what? Electricity.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. David, this morning was talking about the input and output, you know. So we only see what is the input, but we don't see what is the output, you know. Yeah.
That's what? Exactly. Mm. That makes sense, my friend. That's why I'm like a town, like a what? Robot Kama David to be cut the whole town. Water.
Yeah.
Now you're wondering how much is that CEO getting from that, from robot, which they are not able to pay even anything back. And remember, there are a lot of people who are not working in that area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They want to pay the service, but they cannot afford. And as a CEO, then they cannot even make an alternative to make a ball hole for themselves or for municipality alone. Not in Amwater included.
Yeah.
But they cannot think of that. But they still is getting more than that salary every month. But he doesn't have any plan at all.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think our country, that's why people are leaving this country, because of, and we become a brain drain country, because we only are left to those who are not competent.
Yeah.
The one who are running the company. Okay,
well,
let them give other people a chance.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through, for your reaction. Yeah, good. Mm.
Yeah, the story today is not complicated. It's not complicated, but it's urgent, as also Dr. Omu said. It's urgent, and it is urgent. Namibia is paying nearly $69 billion in debt interest over 6 years. Come on, people, really. That's more than everything we have spent on health combined. And nearly three times what we have spent building our country's future through the development budget. So the physical space that should be funding clinics, the reason sometimes why maybe we, and exactly as I said earlier on, why some of these things are not happening, some of the priority, we cannot meet our priority. The problem, partly the problem is the debt. Partly the problem is the debt. And I said, this is the physical space that should be funding our clinics, our roads, our schools, and jobs is being quietly consumed. And this is now being quietly consumed by the compounding weight of past borrowing. Doctor is actually referring to, we're paying, you know, for the debt of our forefathers. So it's consumed by the compounding weight of past borrowing. Our finance minister knows it. Our finance minister knows it. Her predecessor knew it. You know, economists have shouting about it for nearly a decade. I mean, it's not a surprise thing. Eh? It's not like, are we surprised? No. The danger is this. The longer we wait to act decisively, the more expensive the solution becomes. The longer we wait to act decisively, the more expensive the solution becomes one day. Every year of inaction, every year of inactions, it means more interest accrues. We don't seem to get out of it. We when you look at from 2020 to here, it's just up. It's just growing. There is not any indication. And anybody now, when you're thinking of in your right mind, when you look at that, in your right mind and thinking, oh no, things, well, when you see all this priority, which we should have, all this priority, there's no way that tells you that it's going to change. That's going to be improved. We will be able to meet those.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
We're talking about debt today, and especially the interest.
The debt and the interest.
Denying us our development, actually.
Okay. Are they talking about borrowing from the national market or from within the domestic market?
No, we make a change. Namibia has decided actually to borrow more domestically than from outside. But that it doesn't matter where you're borrowing.
Yeah, I think it's good when you borrow within the domestic market, which gives you a good position to really become more resilient to some of the external shock. And I know if they are borrowing within inside, and then maybe say, I'm just giving an example, let's say GIPF or many other institutions. And they are also, because those like GIPF, they invest, the money grows, and then the government also goes there when they have a serious issue. Especially this time, if they are borrowing from within inside here, that means they are borrowing money that they are mobilizing for resources that within the domestic market.
Yeah. Now, Uncle Bono, what do you think? What do you think that we're spending on now? The government repaying the debt. Now, this is the main point of the discussion. Now, the government repaying the debt, it's paying more the debt interest. We're paying more debt interest than what our budget is paying. More amount of money go to the debt interest,
yeah,
than actually going to the health, you know, or development budget.
I heard the Minister of Health is complaining about accountability and why the money went back. So now it means that the money went back to the National Treasury, but which is not supposed to be done. The activity that were budgeted for the previous years supposed to have been implemented, and that's why it's concerned with that. But if they are borrowing, whether it's because wherever, even our just, I'm just giving an example of individual, we borrow and we pay interest, isn't it? On our own individually, as a family, as individual, we do that. But if I have to borrow from within, inside here, if the country is doing that, and I think it puts you on the advantage, better position than borrowing from outside, where they might also give you some condition. I don't know whether you borrow with the U.S. dollar. For us, we borrow in our land, our currency.
No. You're right. I mean, and that's actually not the point of discussion at the moment.
Maybe what you need to do now, because when you borrow the money, because Minister Foda was going to borrow money for kind of consumption. Their consumption now includes the activities, perhaps the one that you were talking about. It was not you, was it David who was talking about the Ondangwa need so money.
And then for the sport stadium, yeah.
For the sports, and we are told that all the governors should follow suit, and then those are activities that will be performed here, and now you create money within here. So that's how I'm looking at it. It's not a good thing to borrow, perhaps, but depending on how and the terms and conditions which you have agreed that borrowing within inside here, I'm sure if they borrow this day, for example, like I said, from GIPF and others, and they will pay interest to GIPF, that interest will generate again. With that interest accumulated, accrued, will then be dispatched, deployed to Qatar for other things. But to send the money back, that is a different question. You see, it tells you that you have not performed, like the Minister of Health now asking these things. And if so, they give interest, it also trickle down, I believe, to other social amenities, for example. Now they are talking about hospital, everybody is going there. Don't you think that the money will also be spiced with a way of mobilizing resources to stay in the country? For people to go to private health centers and then put money in there? So I think, I don't know, so that's my take on that thing.
Yeah.
So the one that's realized through dividends or profit or interest or profit will then be channeled back into the economy.
All right.
Good.
Thanks for coming through.
Welcome.
All right. Yeah. So, as we're saying, the danger is the longer we wait to act decisively, you know, the more expensive the solution becomes. So as every year of inaction means more interest accrues, more physical space disappears, fewer road get built, you know, fewer clinic get stocked up with medicines, you know, fewer young people find jobs. So yeah. And this is not just a budget story, right? This is not just a budget story. This is a story about whether Namibia is building a future. Or we, as some people put it, are we mortgaging the future? So the 2026-2027 budget stabilizes the ship. As I said earlier, it stabilizes the ship. But stabilizing a ship that is, of course, when you are on course or you're off course, it's not the same as steering it to the right directions. That's a difference. So Namibia deserves that bold decision. As actually the doctor have said, you know, we need that serious political risk taking. We need that serious political risk-taking. So Namibia deserves that bold decision, not just a careful management of decline, you know? So we need that serious bold decision. So now is your call. Others have done their best. Now is your calls, your reaction, your questions, you know? So this conversation belongs to all of us, okay? It does belong to all of us. So Namibia is counting on all of us to care. Yeah? It's counting for all of us. It's counting to all of us, counting to you as well that is listening, you know, to shape our conversation, to shape our dialogue on issues like this that really, really matter to our country. You are sitting there with all the knowledge, with all the information, and you're not doing anything. Yeah, you're just listening, and you even far, far, far better understand things than I do. You know, I just analyze things, get a time to analyze some things, to bring it to you in a way that you now can debate and see the aspect maybe that, you know, that the papers miss or something like that. That's what we do on unpacking. So, yeah. So, but you're sitting there and you're not contributing. You're not contributing to the national dialogue on the subject. Okay. You are not. So pick up the phone and react and contribute. 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So that's the number to get to me on the studio here from the Ondangwa studio. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. Our time is 22 minutes past the hour of 9. And if you don't come through, we will be moving on to our second discussion. So that is, you know, Ondangwa Stadium, a dream. Big vision, big price tag. So that's what we're going to look at when we come back. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, that's very true. This is your number one talk radio station in the land. Welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is about 24 minutes past the hour of 9. The show, you know, continue. We go until 10 o'clock when we'll be handing over to Tate France, who will be coming with Kufa Mosha around 10 o'clock. Make sure that you stay tuned to listen to the other programs that are coming your way this morning. So now, welcome back to Unpacking the Day. This in this segment now, we focus on Ondangwa, all right? Ondangwa, a town that is quietly but boldly writing a new chapter in its story. Now, and this chapter involves concrete, floodlights, an athletic track, and a price tag of between 60 and 70 millions just for this year. Well, yeah, so that is the story we are unpacking, is the story in today's edition of the one of the stories that making headlines in our edition of the Villager. So make sure that you subscribe to the Villager, or what you need to do is send a WhatsApp message with your email address, send your name to 08121 200 4144 08 081-241-44. So the villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you subscribe. And it is for free, for God's sake. It's you're getting for free, absolute free. And news, you know, updated news on what is going on in terms of business, in terms of economic, in terms of, yeah. So make sure that you get yourself a digital copy of that great news. So, yeah. So Ondangwa, it's not a small town. It's not a small town. It sits in the Oceania region. If you are new in a country, maybe you're just listening to us, or somewhere, if you're outside of the country and you hear Ondangwa, yeah, it's in the Oceania region, the commercial heartbeat of the north, with a population pushing past, you know, 30,000. And it's growing, probably grown more than that. It's a town that carries the economic hopes of entire region. And for years, since as far back as 2017, the Ondangwa Town Council has been dreaming of a world-class sport stadium. So 7 years of dreaming, and in 2023, the bulldozer finally, you know, moved in. The bulldozer finally moved in. The stadium is real. The foundation work is down. The underground pipes are in. The grass area is prepared. You know, the gate is standing. But now comes the hard part. All right. Now comes the hard part, which is actually the money. So as I said, this is a story in today's, edition of the villager story by, Louis Shimi. Make sure that you go there and read the story for yourself, in more details. So, the council's chief executive has laid out what 60 to 70 million will buy this year alone. So we're talking about toilets, concrete work, a pavilion and athletic track, floodlights and grass on the field. So that's just phase one. And then there is a very telling detail here, you know, telling detail. The pavilion being built right now is designed to be extended later after this commercial.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai etetraweza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ahakane na wina ikare no nasa kumurungu wa indu weriro ngere kusha umune ondenguo kuura kwa imba una ovi umedia peke kwa gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe stoo pika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva oo peresente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva oo peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva oo peresente umirongo ivari na dano Tumyevya murongo na ivari moshimarifu. Itoarerera ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukite. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyeru haka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Omutiha, utekiro kaguna.
Alright, welcome back. Welcome back. Yeah, so we're looking at the project, the stadium project, that is taking place in Ondangwa. We're just looking at phase one. So, and I was telling that there is a very telling detail here, which, the pavilion being built right now is actually designed to be, expanded later. So in other words, they are building for tomorrow. So they are building for tomorrow, even while, you know, fighting for funding today. So, which is actually a good thing. So what is the bigger vision, right? What is the bigger vision here? This is not just a football stadium. This is no, they are not just doing a, they are not be just building a football stadium. The plan is a full sport and entertainment center, entertainment hub, you know, conference hall, a gym, recreation facilities, all that, you know, and that, which is actually a good thing. It's a place that keeps, its doors open 12 months of the year. You know, it's not only that when there is football being played, but it's keep its door open 12 months of the year. So generating income for the town, you know, generating generating income for the town. So when it is not hosting a match, then it's hosting a conference. So when it's not a conference, then it is a gym. So smart thinking, I would say that's actually a smart thinking, a revenue thinking. And I wish that seriously, and I wish that every either major town with this budget, so because these are budget that regions are given, I would rather, you know, instead of, okay, maybe some constituency, sometimes some constituency we need to build this facilities. But if in the region you have, you know, a really good, as they're planning here, as we can see, this is phase one, and they would like to generate money themselves as well to actually make it a center, a entertainment hub, you know, a sport and entertainment hub, you know, conference hall, a gym, recreation facilities, you know, have where you have like tennis, squash, tennis court, what is that? The netball, whatever, and netball field. Do you call it the netball? That netball field? No, it's not a netball field. You know. So yeah, and maybe a boxing. Boxing ring, because this is also one area, one sport that is very successful in Namibia. So yeah, something like that, a multi-purpose kind of, center or entertainment or recreation facilities. And I don't know why, even sometimes business in the north, you have all around, especially in the north, maybe other part of the world as well, other part of the country. You have bars, just you have bars. You know, when you come in, from where you come in, it's just bars. Next to each other, bars. But when you think of those owners of the bars, where you could actually have a you know, these are business now. These are entrepreneurs or whatever. These are business. They could have, you know, put their resources together and put up something like that. That would definitely generate, income for them for a long time to come. And it's also a center that now, create, you know, that help, you know, young people to improve their skills. That have children now not on the street, you know. And then what we create bars, now invite young people to come to, you know. If we could have actually developed a multi kind of purposes entertainment hub, you know, that, you know, a tennis and netball court. Yeah, exactly. So it's always good to have some people that are listening and be able to, you know, correct you. Thank you. Yeah. It's court, yeah. So, yeah. So things like that, eh? We need to develop our own towns. We need to develop our own, you know, and their business are there. Eh? So business are there. We just don't know. We just bars everywhere you go. Bars, eh? And sometimes those bar don't really make money. They don't make really, you know, a profit. Eh? So what we're creating is just an alcoholic kind of, you know, nation. Whose president was actually saying things like we are a drunk nation? There was a president, I don't know whether it's Hage or the founding father, or maybe even Pohamba himself. So I don't know which one, but there was someone who was saying we are drunk, you know, nations. So yeah, the other question is always that I ask, you know, where does the money come from? You know, yeah, where would be the money come from? So the council openly admit there is no dedicated budget line for this stadium. So instead, they are channeling money from water and electricity service revenues into the project. That's according to the article. So they are channeling money from water and electricity service revenues into the project. And on top of that, they are knocking on the doors of partners. You know, the Road Fund Administration has pledged to build the access road, and the NAMPOWER has expressed interest in contributing as well. So yeah, that's very interesting. And the government has also made its presence known. The Oceania Governor and the Deputy Minister of Sport both visited the site and promised to explore funding options as well. So, yeah. So, Oshike, Omlongera ukufangwa melimba. If you just sit and just look and just ask for the government, give us what, you know. So, try to do something yourself as well, you know. And as I said, business people, there are business people. Why so many bars? Put all your resources together and make sure that this great idea, this great initiative, this great project for the community of Ondangwa, not only for Ondangwa, actually for the region, come to fruition. But there are also, you know, issues that we need to discuss. Yeah, definitely there are also issues that we need to discuss.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, family.
Bon dia, como está? Is that me or where is that coming from? All right.
But I think I'm still somewhere. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yeah.
Yeah, no, I just wanted also to contribute. I like your idea. The idea is really up to date. You know, we should create a system which are not just for play soccer, but for a lot of activity. Should we have a restaurant inside?
Yeah.
Should we have a training, like, let me say, like Oshiwambo, this traditional things facility? Yeah, you know, like selling stuff inside. We should go to the other level, not like the way you use just a stadium. After a soccer is closed, nothing is going on there.
Yeah.
Your idea really, I think somebody should, or our think tank should take something from your idea.
Yeah. I mean, imagine even in the north, in Windhoek, you have so many facilities you can go to, but you know, this entertainment kind of a center where you have a swimming pool larger enough, and maybe smaller swimming pools that, you know, now here, the swimming pool is not just for people coming and swimming. It's where now you actually have to teach. Now you teach now how there are a lot of talents here in the north. When it's come to swimming and all that. So now you have this big swimming pool where now, you know, young people can be learned how to swim. You have a tennis court, you have a squash court, you have a volleyball area, you have netball area, you have a soccer stadium, you have now football pitch, you know, you have a gym, you have a restaurant, you have a library, or some kind of where you can just serve your internet and things. So all that kind of things in one center.
Yes. You know, something which can attract a lot of activities, not just soccer, but we have a lot. Even the we don't have a team which is playing there,
yeah.
But the building is on. Things are going on now. You know, people are creating art, and we are so talented, but we just need a central thing for us to.
The thing is that we don't have facilities that actually upskill our talent. You know, that can build up our talent. And I just don't know. The other thing is that I'm really, 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 you know, I'm maybe sad about is that we have people with money, and what do they do? It's just building bars. It's just bars, bars. Wherever you go, it's just bars, you know?
But so it's like they are not in the table. They are in the venue with their money.
Exactly. So, and in the way, what does the band do? It sell alcohol. That's all what it does. So in the way, we're just promoting, you know, drinking nations. Eh?
Yeah. We should learn from our past what our stadium have brought up to date today. What we gain from it? Don't talk. No. We should create a system which, as you say, there. And you know, I went to South Africa.
Yeah.
And one of my friends called, invited me to go to have a breakfast.
Yeah.
And I was sitting, I thought I'm watching a TV, my brother. These people are playing live golf. And I thought, what's going on? I asked this guy, my brother, is this a big screen? I said, no, just outside you find that you see them live.
Yeah.
I said, wow. I'm in the restaurant, but at the same time, I'm watching golf, I'm watching tent, you know? You saw our thing, the tuning soccer?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of that system we want. A kind of that system. If you go to June in Sokom, you see, you find shops, you find people are playing golf, you find this traditional whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we want. Yeah, that's what we want. Really, I'm very proud for that idea you come up with. I think we should sit and think about the idea.
Yeah.
What can we take from this young man?
Yeah.
Oh, older man.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, some of the things like a joke, but for tomorrow, gonna bring more than what we thought, you know.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Really,
yeah.
Let me say now, we have even like we are lacking. Let me say in our traditional things like, I want to speak. I want to be a reader of my language.
Yeah.
So should be on the same thing. I can even learn one more, I can learn whatever language I want. By the way, we have a lot of new entrepreneurs which are coming showcase their talent. We go there to watch them, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
All right, no man. This is a really, really, really very good idea, and business people should see this as something that they can support, which actually would actually make money for them, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Just imagine now that Mike, we have like a high attendance of tourists in our country. Now let me say they go to Oshakati or whatever village they go, but they want to see the traditional things where they will go to Matala. No, let them go to the stadium. There's a restaurant, there is the traditional whatever, homonym, ballet, tai longwa. There's people who are creating, you know, it's a lot of creativity things in our traditional way for us also to showcase our talent. And to make even because we have people who are really trying their best, but there's no support. They don't know where they must go and sell it. Some of the places are overcrowded. But if you come up with this kind of, of facility. There we go.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You know, thanks for coming through.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Some of these noble ideas, I don't know, maybe we are not talented enough in terms of marketing wise. We're not market some of these ideas big enough and so that we drive many business to this where they see, well,
this is actually a project worth investing in. I don't know, maybe that's people that are in, and that's another thing. It's who we have in these town councils and whatever. Are they competent enough to create, marketing, initiatives, marketing, strategies that make people see that these projects are worth investing. When you have people who are not competent enough, that's the consequences. Yeah. But seriously, I think, if I was, either with some power, I think there should be a law that somehow people were not happy with this, that limit how many bars that we actually, that we build. Everywhere you turn, no wonder why we have really many people, young people that are just, drown themselves in alcohol, in drugs and all that. Because that's all what surrounds them. Yeah? That's all what surrounds them. You have some young people that may have skills in swimming, may have skills in running, maybe have skills we still actually follow the old way when we were growing. Eskona tukulu, shower, why? Okan hanka dana ne tangan disiro tang munagestani. Ngotoro mbakuche aye. Siya tuli metanga. Yaliwa. Etango aleta mashigombo. So we're still with that kind of mentality, but we know how this actually sport. We have the Masikili, the Mboma and others that make living out of sport. Sport is business nowadays, But we just have so these business people that are just, all in on their mind. It's just bars, bars, bars everywhere. Everyone is just coming up with a bar. Yeah? Nee, man, we need to change that mentality. Let's look at things that really build up the nation rather than, things that are actually destroying your country. So, yeah. But as I said, there are things also we need to look at it realistic as we look at the article. Yeah, they are also uncomfortable. A truth you need to hear also in this way. So Ondangwa residents currently... currently owe the town council close to 68.5 million in unpaid water and electricity bills. So 68.5 million in unpaid water and electricity bills. So yes, the same utility revenue is being used to build this stadium. So ask yourself now, is the council building a stadium on the back of debt that its own residents haven't paid? So because this is the utility revenues being used to build the stadium. So, well, that's not an accusation. I'm not kind of accusing. That is just a real governance question. It's a governance question. And it deserves a real answer. So, yeah. And to be fair, the vision here is sound. The vision is sound. The concept of revenue generating sport hump for the North makes absolutely sense. It's something that I always wish. This is something always in my dreams. I really don't know what people who have money don't think about this. An entertainment hump, an entertainment center. In a way, built in a way, when you have music, when you have sport, when you have, all in one. Eh? As a parent, sometimes you, when you are in the North, in Windhoek it's different because you have many places that you can go for entertainment. When you are in the North, maybe you have your children, you want that I can go and sit and pick a book maybe at a library, some kind of like a center. I can pick a book, be able to read, having a cup of tea or having a drink. And my children are actually, maybe they are being trained to play tennis, or they are playing tennis, or they are playing netball, or they are swimming, or they are, you know, or they are playing soccer, or they are, you know, you know that kind of, or they are learning music somewhere. So a whole entertaining hub, and that takes a lot of business actors. So it doesn't take one person; it takes a lot of business actors to be able to do something. Rather than, and the business actors are there. If you look at if the kind of bars that we have, believe me, many people, and this center should be massive, completely massive. There are centers like, you know, you go to South Africa, you see these kind of things, So you get into a center where all these things are available. And definitely you won't have people, you know, ending up at the bars and things like that. Young people ending up at the bars. So it's something that I know people are trying to make income, but let's also now, in trying to make income, you. Yes, you're making incomes, but you're also destroying your nation. You're actually destroying your nation. So, and I think that, as I said, the North, Namibia North towns have long been starved. We have been long been starved of a quality sport infrastructure, quality sport infrastructure. And if this dream can come true, you know, our athletes travel hundreds of kilometers just to find a proper athletic track, athletic track. Our clubs play on a dusty, you know, ground while dreams get bigger. So we have talent. But because of the facilities, those talents are not nurtured. Oh my God. So yes, Ondangwa building, this facility is necessary. It's honestly necessary. So probably I wish I was the public relations officer for this project. Maybe I must go and get and talk to them. So become a public relations officer. So because it's something that's really, really necessary. This is necessary. It's something that we should invest in it. We need that kind of facility in the North. But there are questions. The council has been setting aside roughly 12 million a year for this project. So, and experts estimate the total bill for a completed stadium could reach well over 190 million, you know? So yet, this year alone, they need 60 and 70 million. So do the math. If you do the math with me, at 12 million a year, that's a 5 to 6 more years just to cover what needed now, you know? Just to cover what is needed now. So when you do the math, it's either the partnership model works, you know, the partnership model works, and work fast. It should work or work fast, or this dream risk becoming the North most expensive unfinished building, you know. So that's why I said realistically we need also to look at this, and you need really a dedication cadre that, you know, that they know what they are doing. And that they are really, we need to come up with a product, okay, that we can sell. So craft that product and sell it, even sell it to outside, you know, to business and to, even to outside actors as well. Come up with, so sometimes we have all these ideas in our mind and we don't, we need to have a product. that we can sell.
A very good morning to you.
How many jobs are they estimating to create in that project?
I'm not too sure. This is not the constituency project. This one is it's coming a long way. It's already started around 2017 or so, and it started long way. It's a project that is ongoing. There has been a lot of temporary job for now because this is a construction. I cannot pinpoint how many.
Yeah, because I remember Ms. Afunda, when she was motivating her budget, she was also talking about job created here, the number of jobs in this sector, I believe the Ndamba one and others, we also have estimated job creation, whether temporary or permanent and things like that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the time to question them and say, how many jobs can we expect to be created here? So, and then the INOX is one, so it was already being said some years back, the one in Ndamba, I don't know, the one that will be beginning very soon. So I think it's also good to see in this project how much job will be created. Phase one, you know, the cycle of the project.
Yeah.
The finishing line.
All right. So, given where we are, really in life, given where we are now, how many jobs that we need to create, we are behind. We are behind our target. It's like when you, whether it's houses, we are behind. With that's why we talk about, you know, a backlog of how many and all that. So yeah, no matter how much employment that we create at this point in time, and whether it's housing or other things, we are really behind target. And let's do what we can do to get there, you know, to get our people works, to get our people jobs. Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah, to be honest, my dear listeners, the thing is that we have seen, sometimes is that we have seen this story before, in Namibia, you know, big announcement, groundbreaking ceremonies, smiling official, you know, in hat, you know, those in hats. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's just silence. Silence, silence, silence. Years passed, building stalls. You know, you're still asking, when are we going to do this? When, you know, the community is left wondering. So hopefully, as I said, this is a necessity, something really, we have some dedicated people, you know, to get this done. So here is actually my challenge to the Ndangwa Town Council. Show us the partnership on paper. As I said, we need that product. Give us the whole, what is the whole project look like, you know, when it's done, so that we know who do we need to go to? How do we sell this project to these actors? Sometimes we just go with idea, we want to build this and what, but we don't have the whole, you know, what is that we are doing? What is the product that we are selling? So not promises at a site visit, signed agreement, and you can go like show us the signed agreement, a clear multi-year funding roadmap. You know, what is your multi-year funding roadmap? How is your roadmap in terms of funding? Because the study built on pledges and utility income, because you know, without a dedicated budget, it's a stadium built on a shifting sand. Seriously, yeah. And here is the flip side. If if they pull this off, if they really pull this off, if this becomes a genuine, thriving sport and event hub for the North, it could be transformational. Definitely, it could be transformational for Ondangwa, for Oshana, and for Namibia. It could be transformational. So, yeah, the Ondangwa Sports Stadium is real. It is progressing. And the ambition behind it, it's commendable. Phase one needs between 60 and 70 million this year. The council is funding it. It's funding it creatively. You can see that there's some creativity in what they are doing through utility, revenue and strategic partnership. That would do definitely. So the vision extends beyond sport. The vision extend it beyond sport into conferences, gyms, economic activity for the whole North region, definitely. So, but the critical test is funding sustainability. Funding sustainability, that's the critical test. The gap between what is needed and what is allocated is absolutely large. So the debt overhang from unpaid municipal bills also add pressure. So people, residents should pay their bills, and maybe that would also alleviate some pressure as well. And the history of delayed infrastructure projects in Namibia demand that we hold this council and this government to account, definitely. So the dream is beautiful, Namibia, that dream is beautiful, and let's make sure the execution matches it. So let's make sure that the execution definitely matches it. All right. So that's what we have for you this morning. And thanks for those who participate, who come through and contribute to our discussion this morning. So I'm going to leave you in a beautiful, beautiful, capable hand of the one and only Mbarangaja. It's coming up with Kuthamosha. From me, Michael Chevelli, we still have another day tomorrow. Let's do the same around 8 to 10 o'clock. For now, have a pleasant and a productive day ahead. It's a goodbye from me.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the Eye. The Eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafatha na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotitha mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tiimeleha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira Selma, konara hita tuimu. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel